at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Welcome to Solaris Blue Raven's Witching Hour. I am your host and head warlock, the Right Reverend Dr. Rolaris Black Owl, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. And we'd like to thank all of our hosts, listeners, chatters, producers, and managers, and we thank for whatever contribution you can contribute to this great station. And tonight is the 22nd of April on the West Coast, and is the 23rd of April on the East Coast, or right there at that witching hour. We're having a two-hour roundtable, and I've been joined by Matt Painter, John Wayne, and so far Deacon John as well. So before we get into it, I ran across something. It's about a couple hours before the show, and I thought it was kind of interesting. It's in reference to the five generals. And it's only about 4 minutes long, so I'm going to let this run. The person that is describing this is Father Chad Rippinger. He is an exorcist trained in the Vatican by the Pope, and he talks about the five generals. Here we go.
Self now.
Underneath Satan, there are what we call the five generals. The five generals are the five demons that are immediately hierarchically underneath Satan, and they are the ones who execute his plans. In some cases, they call it the table, because it's basically they get to divide up certain things. The first demon under him is Baal. Baal, now, Satan actually is the demon of impurity, but Baal is a demon of impurity. His principal function is to get cultures to succumb to impurity, primarily through fornication. Once the fornication sets in, then what happens is that the perspective that the conjugal act is ordered towards children is lost. From that arises the idea that sex should be recreational and that you can use it for any way you get pleasure. That's fine. So Ball lays the groundwork. We saw this in our own country. It was called the Free Love Movement. He lays the groundwork. The next thing he tries to do is, although in our country he managed to pull something off that was rather extraordinary, the next thing is after that, as we read from St. Paul, God delivers men and women up to their lusts, and men will start to want to sleep with men and women with women. Which basically means what? Once the spirit of fornication sets in, which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, in the new rite, they removed this from the spirit of fornication, deliver us from the litany of saints, at the very time that the free love movement gained ascendancy. What we pray for is what we get. You don't pray for it, you're not going to get it. After that, then what happens is the culture, the next three demons show up. The first is Asmodeus. He's the demon of homosexuality in men. Then there's the demon of Leviathan, which is the demon of homosexuality in men, but of the masculine kind. These are the women who are heavy on the heels, we would say. Okay. Then there is the spirit of Lilith, which is the more seductive form of female homosexuality. After those have gained ascendancy in a culture, which, by the way, if you look at the cultures, every single culture is pushed in this direction. Okay. So, historically, not just ours, but historically, this is always the progression. Once you have fornication, you end up with contraception, and then the upshot of that is homosexuality and then abortion. Baphomet is the fifth one, and he's the demon of child sacrifice. Abortion. In our culture, think of this. They shot down the fornication laws, and so they delivered us into the hands of Baal. Then they had Roe versus Wade and delivered us into the hands of Baphomet. And then they allowed gay marriage, and so now our country politically is in the hold of the top five demons in hell other than Satan. They delivered us into their hands. That's where we're at.
Well, take that with whatever you will. And so, again, that was from Father Chad Rippinger, and he talks about the five demons. So, any comments, gentlemen? Good evening.
Lord Father God, come back quickly. Good evening, yes. Hi, everybody, I'm back.
So, okay, no other comments?
It's a scary thought that we're under control of otherworldly entities, and we're not the ones who are truly in control, even though that's what we think.
Yeah, you know, that there are groups that are purposely invoking these things, you know.
They believe, it doesn't matter if you believe in demons or the devil, the fact remains is they do.
They do, yeah. And there is something to be said for focusing of power. I mean, I was actually studying at one point about this type of thing, focusing of power, and you can literally make something up. It's something akin to, I guess you might have heard the term egregore. And if you get enough people concentrating on something, whether it's real or not, whether it's believed by others or not, whether it was made up on the spot or not, that has power. That
in the 80s, they did a study in Washington, D.C., where they brought 20 psychics together and they wanted them to drop the crime rate down. And the crime rate went down over 25% over the weekend that they'd done the testing. And it proved that, you know, their thoughts actually changed reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why there's such, so much in your face with advertising and, you know, the propaganda TV is to get everybody the mindset into a certain wavelength, you know, so people aren't, they aren't thinking spiritually, you know, for the, they're being kind for one another. They're not thinking of, let's say, you know, God or anything. They're not thinking, they're focused on fluff or even worse, maybe violence. You know, you hear a lot of music and stuff and the people are singing these songs to themselves while getting in that mindset of thuggery.
Half of them don't even know what the words are. They're just singing them.
Yeah. But I think there is a manipulation of mindset, you know, just by, I mean, the generalistic term that I use is Madison Avenue, you know, those that market everything. And you can see it in advertising. I mean, look at Dylan Mulvaney. All right. You know, all of a sudden everybody's picking this guy up. And this is supposed to put people in a certain wavelength and mindset, even if you disagree with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the old paradigm before this transgression stuff started was sex sells. So
yeah,
they thought automatically, since the sexuality is shifting, this would be a good thing.
Well, you know, when you think about it, what one of the things that keeps addicts of certain substances, like cocaine, for example, addicted, is it has some effect on in the brain of the sexual gratification. And so
yeah, that same thing with video games. It excites the same areas that sex does.
Yeah. And so using or sort of capitalizing on that knowledge with marketing, you know, is that whole sex sells things. It's like, let it be, and then socially acceptable, so everybody's normalization wavelength is cranked a little bit toward the sexualization on the subliminal. So people are running around, and you know, people kind of get used to it. It's like, well, when I lived in
Hall, how bad the commercial is, if you remember it, it's done its job.
Well, like for example, I remember
when I was Cytronic.
Yeah. But like the effect that it has is a normalization. When I was in Amsterdam and I lived right there in the red light district, my porch light was red. And every day, you know, I'd go down to the office and talk to the guy where the girls come and check in. And I mean, there was always girls in lingerie and, you know, sitting in the windows. And it got to the point where I wouldn't say I got totally desensitized to it, but it kind of. You know, it just didn't, it wasn't like if you're, let's say, a tourist and you come to Amsterdam and you see beautiful girls in negligee and lingerie and skimpy bikinis in windows, you're going to be kind of like, whoa, because you're not used to it. You know, people's eyes bug out, their heads are unswollen. But if you're there for a while, you don't even see it. I mean, or even if you walk by, it's not registering. You're just kind of like, it's normal. So at one point, things can get normalized. And, you know, like there's little children that live in the neighborhood and stuff. And you know,
that's why every city has its own little strip where all the porn shops are.
It's different in different ways, though. Like it doesn't have that seedy atmosphere. But at the same time, sex becomes so ingrained in society that it's not thought of as something that's a taboo. Now, on the same token, you can have deviant sex. Like, you know, men that are calling themselves women and doing, you know, things that are, I mean, it's not natural. If you look at any other animal in nature, and there's always going to be a few exceptions in lots of cases. But, you know, I challenge.
Like, usually when an animal does it, it's in order to make a.
How many trans animals are there?
No, there ain't. What it is it's a dominant thing. It's making sure that they know that they're the dominant one. And usually there's no intercourse actually happen. It's an actual, it's a fictitious act. It doesn't really happen. It's just act like you're doing it to them.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that they're not actually having sex with them. It's just proving the fact that I could if I wanted to. And there ain't a damn thing you could do about it.
So you know, it's not a natural thing. I mean,
it's not natural.
Just show in scripture, you know, the desire for the
flesh. You're breaking up there, John.
We're house of one of demons in control of all. Interesting.
Okay, I heard like parts of what you just said, John, but you're really broken up.
That's how you sound.
And Deacon, you broke up a little bit too.
Why? That's how you sound.
God. You broke up a little bit when you began the broadcast.
Maybe they're messing around. Who knows? I mean, the connection.
Demons and gremlins, are they the same thing?
You know, I'm looking in the chat right now. Speaking of demons and gremlins, Futurist is saying Jerry Marzinski, who I've had on the show, talking about invisible entities plaguing schizophrenic. And that's exactly what the show was about. In fact, I'm supposed to have him back. I've got a copy of his new book. But he pretty much identified two distinct types of entities, that there's the shadows, which are usually seen when people do a lot of meth. It's also possibly related to the Hat Man that children see, the shadow. So there's these shadow people, shadow entities, that they actually did an experiment, and a couple guys took a bunch of meth together and went out to the desert to see if they could see the same thing, and they did. And the shadows got in their truck and made the truck weigh down. Marzinski has seen them. I've seen them. I've seen the Shadow Man when I was a child every night. Came and pushed me out of my body, and I'd see myself standing there, and it bounced back in. But that's beside the point. And then there are the voices, which are...
What were you smoking?
Not when I'm 4 years old. But then there's the voices that people hear, and apparently these are not related to the shadows. They're independent. And Marzinski actually was able to communicate and talk to these voices literally one-on-one, but then he was advised quickly afterwards that you do not want to do that. So he stopped all communication.
Hey, I want to make a statement, if it can be heard. Sure. Ouija boards are no joke.
Yeah, I there's something about Ouija boards. I agree. And I've seen...
Well, that has a lot to do with intent.
There was a guy, he's like, he's one of these YouTube influencers, and they asked him something like, he does this ghost stuff. He's always chasing ghosts, blah, blah. And somebody was commenting like, how come you never do anything about Ouija boards? And every time somebody brings that up, you're very like, you don't want to do anything about it. And he told the story about when he was a kid or younger years, he and a group of friends, real close friends, got into the Ouija board that they had, and we're joking around and everything. And sometime during the session, one of his friends got very distant and changed, and it was like a permanent change, like when they were 17 or something. And you know, they went on with their lives and stuff, but the guy was never quite the same. And so years went by, and they kind of kept in touch a little bit, and then the guy kind of, you know, everything's all normal. And then they had a get together, like let's say 12 years later, and they were all at the house, and then just for old time's sake, they decided, let's break out the Ouija board like we used to. And so they did, and they were joking around, and the guy that was distant asked how something along the lines of, how am I going to die? And the Ouija board answered, like, at night alone in a ditch in the rain. And he was like, well, whatever, okay. And they finished their evening, and he went home, and on his way home, yeah, you guessed it. He got in an accident. His car went in the ditch, and he was killed. And his friend explained that that's why he doesn't mess with Ouija boards anymore, because he knew it was too much.
I dabbled a lot in Ouija board and took it to extremely interesting places. And I mean, this thing was old, and it was I actually found it in the attic of my great aunt's house. So I asked her, you know, hey, can I have this? And she hesitated a bit, but she finally gave this thing everywhere. And it's the spookiest thing that ever happened with it. I had a girlfriend, her name was Emily. Her dad was a very devout Christian. I mean, the whole family is. And she was, you know, I mean, I'm Christian as well. I was, you know, I wanted to know if this stuff was real, if these entities that everybody, you know, in scripture it speaks of, if they're real.
Mm.
So we sit down and partook in a session. And, well, I was trying to provoke something to get a response. And I got into a heated argument with something on that other side over there somewhere. And I told it to prove itself to me. And I will never forget, it came, you know, the sound that come up out of the vent from the basement at my mother and father's house was totally, it was not a human, it was not a dog, it was nothing of this plane. Deepest, darkest, guttural growl I have ever experienced. Being, you know, me, and I go, you know what, I don't believe you, do it again. It did again. Deeper, darker. I'll never forget it, man. I'll never forget it. I riled something up. That's for sure, man. We read scripture after we put the board up, and I closed the circle. You know, I knew all about that kind of stuff. But we read scripture and we slept with Bibles that night. I mean, it was that serious. So I'll tell you what, yeah, man. What you're saying about these demons, that's real. These things do exist. They are very, very, very real.
That's how I put in the chat there, that father of Vincent Lampert, he is a Vatican-trained exorcist. He's in Indiana, diocese in Indiana. Yeah, I'll check him out sometime. He's got some really, really interesting stories and experiences.
You know, one of my older guests was Father Gary Thomas, and he was trained in the Vatican. I did a show with him, and he said that they're pretty busy. Surprisingly, you know, they get many calls a week. He's the guy they based the movie The Rite off of. I don't know if he's still around or not. I'm going to try to get another. I've talked to a couple exorcist priests on live on air, and I'll try to get another one to see, because it's been several years. But every time I talk to them, they always say they're busier than they've ever been. And it just keeps, you know.
When they go to performing, exorcisms from a helicopter over parts of South America, I'd say things are pretty damn bad. You know?
Oh, that's interesting. I've seen exorcists performed in by Coptic priests in Egypt, and they were intense. They're huge crowds of people, and you have this Coptic priest that's just out there sprinkling the water and doing his thing, and people are flopping around, and it's pretty intense. I remember one time I was playing around with a Ouija board with a couple of friends, and yeah, I could feel something pushing that planchette around, you know, and it freaked me out because it was just a weird, weird feeling. Not the worst feeling I've ever had, but it was bad. The worst one, real quick, the worst feeling I've ever had. I've told this story before, but just for fun, I had a friend from Greece, and he used to tell me about his uncle had this library and books, and one of them was really like an old ancient book and supposed to be magical and blah, blah, blah. And I always bugged him, you know, sometime you got to bring that book. He's all, I can't take it out of the house or whatever. Well, one day we're sitting in his driveway in his car, and I said, hey, we're at your house. Let me see the book. And we argue. He's like, nah. And I convince him to go in and get the book. He's okay. I'll be right back. He goes in, he pulls this book out, and it's cold. I remember saying these exact words to him when he handed it to me. Did you take this out of the freezer? It was that cold. I mean, it was like, dude, what's going on with this book? And it was like this leather bound, really old book. And I opened it up, and it was in Greek and some other languages. And it was all symbols and interesting things. And I didn't know anything about it.
Leather bound.
Yeah. And then
I wanted to ask out of curiosity, what leather bound?
A lot of grimoires were done with human skin.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just heavy, old kind of leather, you know. And it had like this embossed symbol on it, like these embossed sort of rune or Greek I don't know what, just symbols to me. And this was like, I'm 18 years old. So I start to feel funny. And I start to feel like not so good. So I'm done. I close the book. I hand it to him. And I say, his name was George. I say, George, you know, maybe just go ahead and take me home. And he's like, okay, puts the book away. And he takes me home. I'm starting to feel better. You know, I guess whatever it was passing. And so he takes me home. And later on, I go in the house and I go in the room. I don't immediately turn on the light, but I go in my room. It's freezing, absolutely freezing compared to the rest of the house. I'm like, I just came out of the hallway. It was normal. I'm in this room. Why is it so cold? I turn around to turn the light on. At eye level, just a few inches away, are two red eyes staring right at me. And I get this feeling of fear I have never had in my life to this day. And I mean, this, I was so scared. I had a taste in my mouth I'd never tasted before, an ugly taste in my mouth. I had this feeling, this weird, I would call it an anti-tingling. It was like the opposite of tingling, just an internal, like, whoa. And I
don't. Your endorphins and your adrenaline's just so off the charts. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was like fight or flight and frozen all at the same time. I dove for the light switch, turned it on. The light goes on. There's nothing there. Eventually, the room starts to warm up again. And, of course, I left the light on all night that night. But I pretty much sat on my bed. I didn't run out of the room or anything. I didn't feel the frightening fear dissipated
immediately. It said hello. It said yeah. Hello. I think you probably saw what I heard.
I don't know what it was. I just know I've never been that scared to this day. And this wasn't.
Whatever I heard, I don't want to see it.
It was. I don't know if it had like a shadowy form. All I remember is these two eyes were staring right at me and. Wow, you know, it was clear.
After that, was that enough?
That was enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I never told George. I never told him, you know, because I afterwards I thought about it, I'm like, there was that damn book. I was like, oh.
George figured it out on his own, huh?
Well, I never told him. I don't think to this day, I don't even know whatever happened to that guy, you know. But I never told him that. What happened, but that's, I swear, man, on everything that's holy, that happened. And I just,
they're entrances to portals, you know, I mean, anything that's arcane or anything can be used in arcane arts or, you know, like when you call it demonology, witchcraft, all that stuff, it is accessible. You know, another story about this Ouija board that I had, same board. I've only owned two different ones in my life. Two in my entire life. The one that was most recent, it was like just, you know, buy at the store one of them glow in the dark ones, but the one before that, I mean, I had them at the same time, but the other one was very, very real, like really, really old, no joke. So we took it to the oldest log cabin church west of the Mississippi, and it's purported to be extremely haunted. There's a lot of interesting stories about this said little log cabin church, but nonetheless, we took it there and we had it in the car, and it was me, my girlfriend, my friend and his girlfriend, and we were using this thing, and all of a sudden everything we said was echoing, like you were talking into like an echo chamber, like literally whatever it was, man, it was like divides or rifts in time and space, just absolutely beyond weird. I go, whoa, did you guys hear that? They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh my god, my voice is echoing. I go, I know, mine is too. No, I mean, it's just wild, absolutely wild. No joke. Things are very real.
Yeah, I remember participating in a decades ago in a coven ceremony, in a Wiccan ceremony, and it was out in the woods, and we cast a circle, and you know, brought the elements in and everything, and it was a very peaceful, serene, beautiful ceremony that we had, a communion with nature, you know, in the dark hours of the night. And we were there for several hours. And what was very interesting, I didn't notice at the time because I was so into the ceremony. We had the candles, and everything was like, you would think you were inside a house or indoors. There was no wind. The temperature was perfect. There was no insects. There was nothing to disturb. There was no outside noise. It was like we were in somebody's house. And then the circle was closed. The elements were banished back to where they came. And we concluded the ceremony. The minute, the second the ceremony was concluded, the wind came in and blew the candles, the elements, the temperature dropped, you know, to match the surrounding air. And that sensation of the stark difference at that moment was like my realization, whoa, I was really young at the time. It's like, this stuff is very interesting. Because I felt it. I felt the change, and I was like, whoa, our circle has gone away and now we're back. You know? And it was a very, I would describe it as a beautiful feeling, you know, that there was a communion with nature and just how the harmonious intunement that we all were. And, you know, we weren't, you know, doing anything malevolent. It was just a celebration of the earth and nature.
Well,
and,
yeah, that's the difference between that and Satanism.
Yeah, we weren't there casting like an evil spell against somebody or trying to make money or, yeah.
And that's what I was saying earlier. It's the intent. It's all the same source. It's how you intend to use it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We were welcoming the elements and the talking to the trees and communing and as one with nature. And we were. We were home. I felt, again, I felt like I was in a living room because I was truly at one with nature. I'm like, wow, everything is perfect, you know? And well, then see, after that.
Technology pulls us away from nature, see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our biggest problems today, I believe, because we're pulled away from the nature. I mean, nobody grounds themselves anymore. I mean, that's an important part. You need to be connected to the world, not through your shoes, through your bare feet.
Yeah. Why I like working in the dirt, just burying your hands in absolutely beyond rich, dark, black dirt, you know.
Yeah, if you can't do your feet, while it's your in the hands sun. Is just as good.
When the sun's on it and it's just got that moisture, yeah, man, it's earthy, it's wholesome, you know, it's right, it's everything that's good. I mean, look, what does it do? It provides abundance for us to survive, right, for sustenance. You know, the food. Well, what's happening with all that? I mean, look, has Satan got his hands and his demons and dominions? Dominions, get that. have they got their hands in that? Absolutely. Look at all the stuff they spray on the crops. Look at all the, you know, what is that? That poison. Roundup, that's right. You know, it's poison, man. That kills.
There's just something now. Now it is. It's APEEL. Something called APEEL. APEEL, I believe. And if you look this stuff up, it's supposed to be this coating that it doesn't wash off. So if you see some sticker on like a banana or an apple, or well, maybe a banana, you peel them, but an apple or something that you are going to eat the outside of it or something, it's going to be exposed. And it says APEEL, you might want to think twice. What that is some sort of it's Bill Gates is involved. So you know right off the bat
that can't be good.
There's a star for you, a red star. but it's supposed to be this friendly, eco-friendly coating that they put on to keep, you know, your fruit and vegetables fresher for longer periods of time. It seals in the freshness. So who knows what it is, but just thought I'd let you know. Watch out for APEEL.
Kind of like wax, but yeah, you said it doesn't come off.
Yeah, it's a good thing to know stuff like that. I mean, people didn't know for years that what they wrap your burgers with at fast food joints got a coating on it. And everybody that it's in their system now.
Mm-hmm.
You mean in the paper?
On the paper, yeah. They coat the paper with a thing to keep it from sucking up the grease so bad.
So those styrofoam things were better?
Yes.
You remember that? And the styrofoam, oh my God, it's a hazard. Yeah, everything's a scam.
I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, what is it? You have the BPH, right, that's put into plastic, and some say that that's a part bisphenol. Bisphenol.
Yeah, that makes males go sterile from what I heard.
Exactly. Well,
out of all the
sterile, but who's to say that it doesn't totally re-engineer the brain to make these people, you know, want to be with the same sex? I mean, yeah, that's what that whole gay frog thing was with Alex Jones. Everybody, oh, we used to think frogs are gay. Well, yeah, the water's tainted with BPA. If it does that to frogs, well, then human beings could be the same thing, and that gets back to the demons that are in control of said same things. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, there's a whole bunch of different chemical compositions that they could have alternately come up with, other than the bisphenol A, that would have been just as, you know, functional as the bisphenol A without the chemical breakdown. It's like, you know, I think they do this stuff on purpose. Like when they had those Chinese children's toys that if they swallowed a little, you know, bead, it would break down into, like, I don't know, DMT or some crazy, like mescaline or something weird, some hallucinogen. Did you hear about that? When they had these toys that from China. And if you swallowed it, the chemical composition.
Well, I knew about the lead, but I didn't know about that.
It would break down in the human body into some sort of, it was a drug, it was a compound, and I forget which one it was. I don't think it was DMT, although I'm not sure. But yeah.
Right. Well, what they're doing now, they're going to put mRNA in everything. What they're talking about, since people won't take it, well, we're just going to put it in your food supply. You know, I'm going to tell you, the other night, piece of chicken. You know, chicken generally has this one texture, right? And this meat did not have the texture of what we know of chicken be. I mean, it was like, as it was being chewed, it was like really, man, how do I say this? It's like block. Okay, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know,
generally, chicken should be like stringy, right? Yes or no?
Well, cool. Yeah, I know mean, there's different compositions.
So this stuff was like, it was like blocky.
Yeah, I've had chicken that's either blocky, and then I've had chicken that's like really stringy, like string cheese. I don't know what that is all about.
Mm-hmm. Right. I probably just ate a great big chunk of mRNA is probably what happened. You know, God forbid it. But, I mean, that's what they say they're doing it. They inject the animals with it, too. You know, I mean, well, I mean, they're under the control of what? That's right.
Well, the problem is monopolization. There used to be, I don't know, I saw this documentary, and in the documentary, they talked about how there were hundreds, maybe a thousand or more, butcher meat packing plants all over the United States. And they were all different independent ones. They weren't owned by the same companies. And then over the years, they got down to like, there's like maybe three companies or something. I don't know, some very, very small amount that owns all of the meat packing plants. So you have no diversity.
True.
Broke up there, John. Anybody?
There you are, with me.
All right, Deacon John's still here.
I'm still here.
All right. Okay, John, you're breaking up a little bit. So,
what prompted you to have this topic this evening?
Okay, Deacon, you said, say that one more time, Deacon.
I said, what prompted you to have this topic for tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just rolling.
Want to see some weird ass stuff? Oh, click on that first link up there. Take a look at those ceremonies there that like Charles presides over. Mola.
So, folks, pay close.
Okay.
Speak. They all.
Commonwealth Games 2022. You got Prince Charles and all the gang there, and then they got there's a big bull. Like a Moloch type bull with all these chains and then they got the Tower of Babel on fire. And then there's a bunch of maidens in white with like these white crystals.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing Saturn. That's the Saturnalia. And then like asteroids and things, universe. Oh, okay. There's these white shards that are coming from, they're going to crash into the Earth. Oh, it's a firestorm of meteors that are going to hit the Earth. They're coming down. There's the cities, and I guess they're going to crash, and then I'm waiting for them to crash. They're showing all these scenes of the Earth, you know, like the peaceful desert and the mountains and, you know, the wash is outside on the lawn. And what's that, honey? What's that sound? And she's going to the...
Some weird-ass shit, isn't it? That's weird. What the hell is he doing presiding over it? That's my question.
What kind of symbolism, yeah. I don't know.
It's purported to be, he's the Antichrist, his shield, and I mean, all kinds of different things are saying that he's an extremely, extremely, extremely well candidate.
I don't know.
I think Elon.
I don't think he's liked enough. The Antichrist is supposed to be well loved.
Right. That's the only thing I don't get.
Doesn't the Antichrist supposed to bring peace for a little while to the world? Like, ta-da!
Yeah, for the first 3 years, it's peace, yep. And then he's going to announce that he needs to be worshipped, and then the mark of the beast comes in.
And everybody will be all, yeah, look, he brought peace. He's so wonderful.
Yep.
And that's how he gets his following. So I don't think King Charles is I don't think
when
he can
they,
do that.
He'll arise from the Middle East. I mean, that's where the whole book is centered around, is the Middle East.
Not Jahl.
Will be none.
It's the River Jordan will run dry.
Yeah, and it is right now.
And there'll be a day which will feel like a week.
And the Euphrates is as well.
Yep. And there's supposed to be demons locked there until it dries up.
Speaking of that, I'm going to put that in the chat log here in a second. I put the wrong one in there.
Sheikh Imran Hussein does a very good. He tells the story about the Antichrist, the Dajjal, and what happens, you know, with Gog and Magog and Megiddo, the battle of Armageddon. Again, it's Sheikh Imran Hussein. He's a friend of Dr. Kevin Barrett's, and he's been on. But I've looked into some of his work, and it's very informative. It's from an Islamic standpoint, but it's still very interesting what he talks about. So
well,
look
you
up.
You have to know everybody's stand. You know what I mean? You can't understand the situation if you don't know the other person's.
That's right. Language.
Understanding of it, you know?
Oh, sure.
What they believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So just if you want to, I mean, if people haven't heard it, you can play that. Am I coming through okay, or am I breaking up again?
No, you're better now. You're good.
Okay. To the hell with the internet tonight. So I've just put that in there. The purportedly the sound of the screaming angels that are chained underneath the River Euphrates.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
So if you put that in audio or
it's a good video. I've heard it.
Okay, here we go. Whoops. Hang on.
That was an ad.
That was an ad because I opened it in the wrong browser. Let me put it in the right one where there's no ad. Okay, here we go.
Oh,
Okay, so those were supposed to be from under the river Euphrates. The interesting thing about that is that one area is the sound where it's like a rah, rah. I'm trying to find the thing. I was watching these videos on these guys that were exploring mines and caves, and that's what they do. They just explore mines and caves. They don't go around looking for stuff. And they got to this point where they had to like crawl on their bellies and go, you know, to a place where they got so deep in a cave they've never been, and nobody, they're like, wow, we're the first ones to ever get here this far, right? It's unmapped. And they run across this big room where there's like this underground river, and there's water coming from the ceiling somewhere, and it's causing enough noise of the river where you know, it's making noise, so it's not quiet. And they're walking along this thing, and they start hearing just around the corner that sound, like wah, wah, wah. And it was making this wah that was almost harmonious with the river sound, so it was hard to detect. But when they got close enough, they could tell, this isn't the water. That what is making that sound? And it freaked them out so much because they heard some growling and stuff, that they're like, I don't want to stick around to find out what the F that is. They got out of there. They went back out.
You got the link for that video?
I'm trying to find it because it's like I ran across
it. No, I'm talking about the one
in the chat log there.
Oh, it's in our chat, yeah.
Okay, I'll stick it in our. They were asking about it in there.
You know what I mean? Like you're saying, if.
Anyways.
I have a theory.
There was also a Marine captain came forward a few years back stating that he has actually spoken to these demons under there.
Now,
how true that is or not, I don't know.
My theory is that these things that are living in the caves and underground and all that are actually, I think that it might be rakes.
Well, the ones in the Euphrates is supposed to be chained to the wall.
Right. Well, they might be, yeah, because
they're chained. They're imprisoned there.
But I think there's all. Well, I think
whatever it is, it's down there. I don't care to come face to face with it.
Yeah, I hear that.
Around and leaving just as soon as I got that audio clip.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the caves we have, at least the ones in the mountains, that's where the rakes.
You know, they went around and closed all the caves down a couple weeks back.
These human, you know, they look like humanoids that have long limbs, and people have been filming them.
Yeah.
And what was the other? Is the rakes, and then there is something else. Oh. The Sasquatch. Now there's more and more evidence about the Bigfoot as well.
The top cryptids is Bigfoot, of course, and then you got the rake, and you got Wendigos.
Well, whatever. There's something also that has there's something also that has these red eyes, and they give off a light. They're not reflective. They glow red. And there's a couple videos. Some of them are like, one of them's like 7 or 8 years old, the video, maybe even longer, like 11 years old or something. And then there's a couple that are recent. And the older ones, of course, the quality isn't so good, but they are basically the same. There's something
paint shop.
Well, there's something that, I don't know, it looks like it almost could be a rake. But I don't think the rake's eyes glow like that. These things are like two little red flashlights almost. And then one, the thing chases them. It chases them. It dives off of a cliff, jumps.
Yeah, and tries to swim after the boat.
Swims after the boat. Yeah, and freaks these.
I haven't seen this. Find it.
Yeah, that one's freaky. The guys left the dude there, got in a boat and left, the other guy there.
Yeah, and this thing, you could see it. It's just going after him. It's like, what the hell is that? And then there's another one where, like, it's in the woods and it's behind the tree, and it comes out and looks at them, and it's there's something. I mean, there's whatever it is, things that live in the woods.
The one with the boat, well, the guy finally jumped one guy. Off. He finally jumped off a cliff to get away from the thing and swam out to the boat, and the damn thing jumped in the water.
Yep. Yeah, they were freaking out.
I haven't seen that. I want to see it. God.
Yeah, I'll have to find it for you. Know,
and well, I mean, the guy had the right idea, right? The guy had the right idea. I'm out of here, you know. I mean, sorry for your luck back there, but
yeah, they just literally left him, man.
Yeah, they're like yelling, "Oh, where are you? He's like, I'm over here. Where is it?"
It's gnawing on my leg.
So if it was just seemed totally unplanned or unchoreographed, right. If you know what I mean.
And there's another one where it's at night and you just see, and what gives it away is the glowing eyes. And at first the one guy sees it and he's trying to tell his friends that they don't believe him. And he's like, no, it's over there. And they're like, come on, stop effing around and blah, blah, blah. And then finally another one sees it and then they all freak out. And like, what was that? Yeah. And it looks like a humanoid with, it would look like a weird looking skinny humanoid that has red glowing goggles on. Which is bizarre.
I was laying in bed dead asleep one night. Well, no, I wasn't dead asleep. You know how you're like kind of in and out of consciousness right before you go to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may open your eyes up one more time and then, you know, you close them and then you're out. Well, that time I opened my eyes, something was standing. I kid you not. And it was just like the best way I just could describe it. You know, the little ghost things that, you know, chase Pac-Man. That's what this thing reminded me of. Just the shape of what it was and the height. I mean, this thing couldn't have been no more than 3.5 foot tall. And I literally opened my eyes up and I made eye contact with this thing and had two little beady white eyes. And as soon as, I don't know, as soon as I realized I was looking at something and it realized I was looking at it, it like rushed me. Now it was gone. I mean, holy Christ. I mean, I went flying on top of my girl. Hey, wake up. She woke up. She said, what the hell's wrong? What's going on? I ain't going to believe this. But man, there ain't no joke. Things do exist.
There was a video of these campers and they got it on video. You could see this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still talking, you're still going? All right. There's these, did you see the one with the campers and this?
Yeah, you know.
Packet delay.
I like you got a mouthful of glue. Oh.
Man.
So anyway, it's this creature on top of their camper, and they're sitting around like the barbecue or whatever, and one of them spots this thing, and he points to it, and it sees them see it, and it gets scared and jumps off out of the way, and it's clear as day that it's something like, it's not a monkey, but it's a monkey size.
You know, I mean... this thing was tiny, man, but it was fast. I mean, it had little glowing white beady eyes, you know, and something that really trips me out about this. So, you know, there's, like I was saying, there's all kinds of photographic image now, right? With the advent of the smartphone, everybody's got a camera on them at all times. And not only that, but where I saw the same thing. I was just somehow going over ghost videos one night, and this couple had a camera set up in their room, and I kid you not, it caught the exact thing. I look, whatever it is, it exists. And I've heard that they basically feed off your energy when you sleep, is what I've heard. I mean, don't know what they are, but you know there is lore of these things as well.
Yeah, incubus and succubus does that. You know, they suck your sexual energy from you.
Keep a cat near you and your cat will guard.
How so?
John, are you
out of curiosity?
John, are you using a wireless?
Negative.
Okay. your delay, it's just like a delay, but
I found the video of the guy in the boat.
Well, maybe my
share it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe my broadcast will raise some ire or something. I mean, I was kind of kicking some shit in the glue, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's the one, the red eye. So I don't know what that thing is. I've actually been tempted to go out and look for some of this stuff. I had a couple encounters. Like, well, one encounter I had was I was in Oregon, and I was coming back from a rainbow gathering of all things, and I just needed to pull over and use the restroom, and there was no restroom. I had to go number one, but there's lots of little places, you know, little dirt roads that go into the woods. So I picked a random dirt road, went down there a little bit, maybe a quarter mile or so, pulled off on another random spot, got out, enjoyed the night for a few moments, did my business. And the minute I was done doing my business, coming running around the corner, just all lit up with this big Ranger truck. But that was my, that was my encounter in Oregon. But no, you know, have you ever heard of, that wasn't very exciting, you know. You ever heard of this guy, or actually several people have talked about this, but one story is really pronounced about this hiker who wanted to hike the entire, like, there's a trail that goes from Southern California all the way up to like Shasta, and you go through the Sierra Nevadas and all that. So he was hiking this many, 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 many mile trail over, you know, weeks, and he got toward Northern Cal, actually started around Yosemite or so. He noticed that he was being watched by these people in white robes. And they were always like, you know, over the ridge or whatever. We're actually going to a break. So what I'll do is I'll leave you in suspense here, and we'll come back and we'll finish the story. We got one more hour to go.
Don't cross the bridge.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.net, freedomslips.org. Give us a little donation. We'll be right back.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio. Freedom's Lips.
have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
Now, you know, I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, we're back. And where I left off real quick, the story of the people in white. Now, I forgot to tell you guys something. That this guy, he was hiking through the mountains, and he camped at night. And imagine you're by yourself up in the middle of nowhere. You're camping. It's the middle of the night. You wake up to the sound of footprints. Footprints outside your tent and whispering. You can't tell. You can't tell. What are they saying? Somebody's whispering outside the tent. Somebody's whispering to somebody else. That means there's more than one person. What are they doing? And then they go away, and the next morning, you're after being petrified, because you know, this guy, I guess, didn't, I don't know, would you confront, would you jump out and say, what are you guys doing, you know, with your flashlight? So he sees the next morning that there's indeed a bunch of footprints near his tent, and he doesn't know what to make of it, so he continues along his hike. Maybe a few nights go by uneventful, and then another night comes up, the footprints are back, and this time flashlights. Like there's somebody there with lights and footprints, and they're whispering. I'm not sure if I get the story correct or not here, but he stays in his tent. They leave. The next morning, he looks outside. There's no footprints. So now he's kind of like thinking, this is really weird. So he's hiking along maybe a few days later, uneventful. Then he starts noticing the people in white robes following him, like on the next hill or in the distance. He has this sort of running encounter along the trail for quite a while, and he gets freaked out to the point where he decides he's just going to go to the whatever next town. Apparently there's these people in white that live in the Cascades. I've actually heard that they're, apparently some people think they're from Telos, which is the city underneath Mount Shasta. That people in the local town back in like the 60s or 70s used to say these guys would come down in white robes and they'd pay for everything in gold dust. And they were usually really nice. Nobody knows anything about them, but they'd get their supplies and then they'd go back up into the mountains and nobody would see them for like a couple of years. And they'd only come out every few years. And that was like back in the 60s and 70s. But this guy says he got a very negative vibe from these folks. Like they were, you know, he didn't know if they were just keeping an eye on him or trying to frighten him away. But he says there's definitely something weird up there with these guys in white that are up in the mountains. Probably got like, and he says they're always in pure white. They come out of nowhere. They vanish. Like they probably got a cave system or something, you know, a secret entrances that go through there. I don't know. Any comments from anybody? And it looks like we've been rejoined by John Wayne.
Oh, are you also okay now by chance?
Been, yeah. Yes, you're sounding good. And we've also been joined by the mechanic. Welcome.
Your story made me think of Dick Gunderson and some of the new and talked about. But yeah, go ahead. Good evening, mechanic. Hi, guys.
The people in white have been reported in several states. So, along the Blue Ridge Trail too.
Yeah, now I specifically remember the Shasta stories, and then I ran across this other one where this guy found them all along the Sierras. Mechanic lives up in the series. You ever seen these people in white? Unmute yourself. You're going to talk, by the way. Oh, maybe he's busy. He's just hanging out. Well, just feel free to interrupt at any time, Mechanic. And anybody else, too. I don't want to do all the talking.
I don't really have any experiences like that. So.
I spent a lot of time in the forest, gentlemen. I spent a lot of time in the woods. And when you stare at trees long enough, you start to question a few things. Movement, you hear a few things. Dog will come out barking, and you don't see anything. But you can hear movement, you know. I've never seen these white things you're talking about, but I do believe I've seen Bigfoot twice, Sasquatch twice at least. But I was way back in those woods. I was
what
probably...
Color, what color was this one? Are the ones you've seen?
Dark brown, almost black, almost. Like Chewbacca style.
British.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you see what kind of life can live just off the side of the road. When you're talking about like mechanic being way back in the woods, there's a lot of stuff that could be back there for decades and humans would never even know.
Yeah, there's places where you go, and rangers don't go, park employees don't go. You're on your own.
Right.
Yeah, there are spots here in the swamps that, I mean, you see a little roach.
That's right. Here, paranormal as well. I mean, have any of you seen the videos of the trees that are like moving through the?
Well, I've seen trees moving through other trees. Now I don't know what that is.
Over me while I'm talking.
Sorry, beg your pardon.
I mean, both of you did.
Yeah, bitch.
You see a roach that's ordering
some
swamp.
Kind of horrible delay. Something is up with the internet.
You get out there in the swamp, and them damn things get 8 inches long. You don't see that in the cities.
If I saw an 8-inch cockroach, no. You can't even crush those things, man.
No.
You know the mess that would make?
Nothing like a 44 slug. You know, take care of an 8-inch cockroach. No big deal.
Things are different where man's not involved.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went camping, I freaked out at the size of the bugs. Oh, my God! I was a kid. Never seen bugs that big.
I've had some extraordinary experiences out there. Right? When I first saw how much closer you are to the stars, when you're on an 11,000-foot mountain, 12,000 foot Mount Whitney, it's crazy how much closer you are. You're in Southern California, you're in San Diego, staring up at the stars, and they just look every bit of the narrative that they're so many million miles away. But you come up to the mountains, they get real close all of a sudden. It's amazing.
It has to do with the atmosphere being thinner.
Uh-huh.
I remember trying to hike with a backpack at about 11,000 feet. And, you take one step at a time. One step, stop, take a breather. Take another step, stop, take a breather.
Oh, wow, you're there, huh? Okay.
Going uphill at 11,000 feet with a full backpack? Yeah.
Yeah. How many liters?
I don't know.
I carry a 60 liter.
As big as I am.
A 60 liter backpack with the frame, it's just over like 30 inches, probably 32 and inches.
And you're talking everything, you know, the tent, cooking gear, sleeping bag, head roll.
Two-man tent, yep. Stove, a little round stove. You got to be able to fish, you got to be able to trap, you got to be able to do a lot of things. Things you don't do, play around with mama bears.
You know what is...
you see mama bear in a cub coming along, you just mind your own business.
You know what a Lakota hole is? Some people call it a Sioux hole or a Lakota hole. It's a fire pit.
And oh, no, don't get hurt.
You can make a fire in high wind without smoke. And the way you do it is you dig like maybe about a foot or so down a round hole, about a foot in diameter. And then you dig about a foot or so out, you dig another hole sort of diagonally and then horizontally connecting underground the first hole that you dug. And you shove a stick through there to kind of clear it out. And that's going to be your air hole. And then you take some sticks and things and you put it in the bigger hole and you light that on fire. Since it's underground, it's going to, you know, be shielded by the wind. And then it's getting air and oxygen from the bottom through your feed hole. And it has very little smoke and it lasts for quite a long time. And
you can go on top of it with a grate.
Yeah, you can, or you can get a stick and that'll hold your handle with a teapot or something.
If you were to do cast iron cooking with a Dutch oven, it would be the same type of setup. You would have a pole going across two kind of teepee-shaped leg supports on either side, so four legs, and then a pole going across with a chain hanging down into the fire. Yeah, it's beautiful. After the fire gets hot enough, what you do is when you're transferring wood out, you take these bigger, hotter coals, and you put it on top of a Dutch oven, and you can actually make pizzas in there, different types of the pasta. Oh, the lasagnas. Are you kidding me? It's great. You can make your own little enchiladas. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. But camp pizza. I've had some camp pizza before. Not too bad.
And there's lots of toppings that are crawling around all over the place.
All right, just pick up a couple of bugs. You're good.
That's right.
You eat the bugs. Whose roundtable was this, by the way? Who's running the show right now?
Well, technically, I guess I'm the guy that's driving. This is normally Solaris Blue Raven's slot, and I'm taking the helm as Rolaris Black Owl.
Well, they have terminated the relationship with Bud Light's premier author of the LGBTQ propaganda campaign. She's been fired.
Who, Dylan?
No. The person who hired Dylan.
Oh.
From Light.
Is it true? Has she been fired?
That woke broad from Bud Light has been fired.
I guess they're trying to do damage control.
The day before she gets fired, Megyn Kelly. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but it's extraordinary. What I heard from Megyn Kelly. Did I play this on, what's today's date? Saturday. Did I play this on the High Council, Megyn Kelly? I don't think she had said it yet. But in fact, 24,000 tweets on the climate hoax, by the way, on Twitter, which a year ago, we would have never had those numbers because anything against the narrative would have been censored. But nuh-uh. Not right now. Not on Twitter right now. Climate hoax. It's a free-for-all. Everybody's in on the fix. They know it's a fix. So they got a lot of problems. People are starting to come out with a lot of facts. Anyways, here, let's go Megyn Kelly, if you don't mind, Mr. Rowe, Reverend Rowe. Okay. This here, I'm not going to play the 41 seconds. I'm not going to play this 41-second clips. People are doing her a disservice. I want to play this entire video. I have this whole thing. I have this whole video. Okay. It's 10 minutes, bro. But it's 10 minutes of fire. If we could just dissect this thing, it is where everybody's head needs to be. This woman, Meg Kelly, calls out exactly what the fraud that Mulvaney is, calls it all out, okay? I got this over here on YouTube. Did I put it? Oh, yeah, by the way. Okay. First of all, let's go here. Let's go to Kennedy, because everybody's got a hard-on for Kennedy now. Let me just stop everybody in their tracks, okay? Mr. Wayne, what do you got before I go on a tantrum here?
Oh, no, I'm fine. I just hope, I don't know. I think I think there's like a delay. I don't know. Hopefully my audio is good.
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah, I don't know about Kennedy. Somebody, what was it? Neil Shavuto, I want to say, asked Robert Kennedy Jr. if he thinks about his dad and his uncle being assassinated. It was wild. I'll find the video.
Question like that?
Well, actually, you do.
Right.
You do, because he's talking about it in his speeches, Deacon. So he's opening the door. Let's give this a run through. 44 seconds of Kennedy might change your mind in how you see the guy. I've known this about the dude. The dude is anti-Second Amendment, and he thinks if you don't buy global warming or climate change, if you're not into that narrative and you think that's a lie, you belong in prison. Oh, you think I'm lying?
And Dale, I think they should be enjoying three hots and a cot at The Hague with all the other war criminals who are there. What about politicians?
One more time.
They should be in jail. I think they should be in jail. I think they should be enjoying three hots and a cot at The Hague with all the other war criminals who are there.
What about politicians, people who deny, who just stress skepticism?
They're selling out the public trust. And, you know, I think those guys who are doing the Koch brothers' bidding and who are against all the evidence of the rational mind are saying that global warming doesn't exist, that they are contemptible human beings, and that, you know, I wish that there were a law you could punish them under. I don't think there's a law that you can punish those politicians under, but I think the Koch brothers should be prosecuted for reckless endangerment? Absolutely. That's a criminal offense, and they ought to be serving time for it.
F you, Kennedy.
So the context that was you're sure that's the context that he was talking about?
Let's go back to the very beginning, because it's quickly.
It's hard to tell what, because they ask him a question and he says they should be put in jail. Who is they? How do we know it's talking about? I see what you're saying. Yeah, I just would like to get the full
climate change deniers was the question. Do you think climate change deniers should be put in jail?
Was that after? But what was? No, I'd like to find the full video. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear that before it either. All I heard was his answer, period.
I think they should be in jail. I think they should be enjoying three hots and a cot at The Hague with all the other war criminals.
He started out with they should be in jail, but who is they?
He repeats it right here. Well, just it's only 40 seconds.
So I'll take the word for it for now.
No. I aim to be as close to the truth as I can. That's the. I say that on my show frequently. I broadcast frequently. And I will find the whole video just for Reverend Rowe.
What about politicians, people who deny, who express skepticism?
They're selling out.
Even politicians who deny and express skepticism.
I mean, I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all because he's a Democrat, for one.
Period. That's already a deal.
Still, even that questionnaire doesn't put no contents to what they're talking about.
He's asking him if politicians should be in jail as well for denying climate change.
Well, he doesn't say the words denying climate change.
Well, listen carefully. Listen carefully.
I did look.
Public trust. And, you know, I think those guys who are doing the Koch brothers bidding and who are against all the evidence of the rational mind.
Who are against all the evidence of a rational mind. Listen.
Are saying that global warming doesn't exist. That they
are saying global warming doesn't exist. That's pretty cut and dry to me.
Well, you're saying the Koch brothers said that.
The Koch brothers and the people that they, you know, give campaign finances to. He's talking about politicians here. See, the Koch brothers are the ones in the pockets of particular politicians who are not buying into the climate change hoax. I've heard
it. There is climate change, but the cause of it is not human beings.
What's that?
There is climate change. It's real. But it's the... They're lying to you.
Yeah, it's not what they're saying. Every planet.
That's not what they're saying. That's the point of this. I don't care. Regardless, this guy's a bum. He's anti-Second Amendment. He's for climate change, which is a control mechanism. Carbon, CO2, your footprint. They want to control you by just making you go broke, not leaving the house, because the moment you leave your house, you got to start paying the government to walk around. Because you've got to pay for your own exhaust. Meanwhile, in real science, biology, okay, when you take a look at trees and the percentages produced by humans, so the percentages of CO2 produced by humans is a third of the total, cleansing, the cleaning that is done by trees who swallow up mass amounts of CO2. No CO2, two things will leave. Two things will leave this planet without carbon, CO2. Two things. Humans and trees. Period. Period. Don't let them tell you otherwise. That's it. That's it. This whole idea of tracking your carbon footprint is just a control mechanism, gentlemen. Do you anybody disagree with that statement? Okay. Silence is golden. I got a couple more things here for you.
You ever seen those? Oh,
I would try to talk, but if my phone's going to work or not, or if the internet's.
I'm hearing you right now, but I wasn't hearing you a second ago.
It's like your packets after to catch up real quick. You know. Yeah. Walking trees.
I've seen the video. I can't find the video again, but I've seen the video where it's kind of like it's on the tree line, okay? And then when you look back into the forest and then you come forward again, like you're panning across it, you don't really see it. But just on the tree line, about two rows of trees in on the left, there's a tree there that's kind of pacing.
Yeah. It's moving. Yeah.
It's pacing.
I've seen a few of those. It's just really weird.
It's the most odd thing. But it's no more odd than this. This thing right on my screen. This thing right here thinks it's some kind of tough guy lying back, talking like some dude in the mob. Okay, he's talking like some bodyguard, essentially. All right? But this is obviously a transgender male, it's pumped full of estrogen. Arm yourselves, he says.
Dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom.
I kicked this thing to pieces.
I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make.
Really?
This is a call to action. You need to arm up.
Yeah. What's that little ditty?
Well, that was a totalitarianism threat, and they could be jailed for that.
You can be jailed for that. 100%. But you know what? She's not right wing. She's fine. She's just fine.
I covered it. You have to be, I covered it in depth.
A white cis male.
It.
Girlhood has had its ups and its downs, and here's what I've learned so far. 6, 7, 8. Women are awesome, but can also be cruel. I'm doing my best, and boys, they kinda drool. My hormones are wild, and my boobs kinda sore. It's only day 200, we have so much more to experience together. We're just getting started. Thank you for being my friend. You're open-hearted. I don't feel so alone. No more shame and carefree. Being a girl is awesome. Would you agree? Woo-hoo!
This little thing is, this little dude is mocking women. Where are all the pussy hats? Where are all the pussy hats marching in D.C.
She's
for
an
women's
accidental.
Rights?
She says she's an accidental influencer.
He. Wrong pronoun, chief.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go. Listen, this is Megyn Kelly.
Works for the New York Times.
This is
it.
What, Mr. Wayne? You're cutting in and out, bro. I'm sorry. All right, Mr. Wayne. While he works on his audio, play some Megyn Kelly on Sky News Australia. She's free. She's unscripted. Appears to be unscripted. Appears to be completely candid with their answers. I believe that this is true emotion. I believe that this is truly her state of mind.
But, you know, Megyn Kelly's kind of getting cooler in recent years. She used to be...
She's waking up to a lot of things.
Yeah, I remember when she was, like, trying to frame Alex Jones in a bit. She's gotten, like, more cooler. Like, she's like, oh,
let
okay.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you what. When you hear this... It's a game changer. I think she's coming all the way across the table.
I'd hang out with Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, oh yeah, no question.
For finding new ways to get crazier and crazier. I've got to say, I've been meaning to say this for a while, but go with me on a journey here. There's a lot of people who are in their late 50s and 60s who don't want to admit that they're in their 50s and 60s, which means they're trying to keep up with the cool kids, right? 20 years ago, that meant that they would have got an earring. 10 years ago, that meant that they would have got a tattoo. But now, these people have to pretend that they are right on the front lines of the craziest, wildest stuff in the world to do with climate, transgenderism, pronouns, you name it, right? And these people are the types of people who run and work at the New York Times, which is why the New York Times, just like the ABC here in Australia, just proves itself to be ridiculous when it tries to connect the debate about same-sex marriage, transgender issues, all of these things into some vast right-wing conspiracy, which, of course, is all about invoking Hillary Clinton from the 1990s because they're old enough to remember.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a theme with the Times and other left-wing publications here. The story is never about what the left-wing did. It's about Republicans pouncing. Republicans pounce on whatever. They're such pouncers. It's not that there was something to pounce on that you did that was really bad on the left. And there's yet another example of that in the press on the New York Times this week, where the headline is, defeated on same-sex marriage, the religious right went searching for an issue that would re-energize supporters and donors. And that campaign, they say, is transgender rights. I think this is actually quite funny. They cite one group, the American Principles Project, that decided this will be a good issue for us to get politicians talking about. Okay. Does that explain the millions of Americans who have been activated on this from the left and the right who have never heard about American Principles Project or seen any of its propaganda that it may or may not put out? It's the leftist behaviors around this issue that have motivated people. It is the fact.
Okay. It's building. Can you see the teapot on the stove right now? She gets into this. I don't think this is fake. She comes from fake news. She is spawned from fake news. I do not believe this is an act.
The fact that they are mutilating and literally castrating physically and chemically.
See, the thing is, Megyn Kelly is actually a
trying to resurrect her career. Yeah.
Well, she's also biologically.
And audio any better?
No, your audio is no better, Mr. Wayne. Sorry.
John, you sound like
at this.
Yeah, your audio's really slow. It's band width as an object. Here we go.
Miners, in the name of this.
Yeah, they're throttling me down, man.
Possibly. Kill all your other wireless toys. Disconnect. Clear the broadband so it's just you, or go hardware.
Go hard!
All right, here we go.
Ideology that has animated us. It is seeing things like a 6'1" man that now goes by the name of Leah Thomas compete against biological women in the pool and then get out and complain about fairness. What we need is fairness in sports. Would you spare me, preacher, and heal thyself before you start lecturing the rest of us? Get out of the damn pool. Get over with the men where you were 555th. And now that you're a woman, you're number one. Leah Thomas is not a woman. Leah Thomas is a man. Leah Thomas putting on a dress or a woman's swimsuit doesn't make her a woman, him a woman, whatever. And people are starting to catch on to this nonsense. They're seeing people like Riley Gaines, the swimmer we discussed, chased into some room as a kidnap victim because she tries to stand up for fairness in sports. And they've had it. They've seen kids who, instead of getting honest psychological care, only get affirmed. You're right. You are a boy. You're not a girl. You should go on cross hormones immediately. They get sterilized. They go right to puberty blockers, right to cross-sex hormones, and they are sterile.
She's like 2 seconds away from saying, wait a minute. If they're sterilizing children, what's behind that? What's the agenda? Is it depopulation? She's right there.
Megyn Kelly has chosen side human, team human.
Yeah. She is on the precipice of a full-on wake-up call. It's beautiful to watch. Beautiful.
Not only that, no orgasms for them in their future. Nice. Is that informed consent for a 14-year-old who's going through bodied issues and that's all? What she really needed was a good, honest therapist? No, we're standing up and we're fighting, not because of some stupid group that decided to make a wedge issue out of it, but because the leftists have lost their mind and some of us still have a tether to the truth. Men cannot become women. Women cannot become men. Biological sex is real. If you've got issues with respect to...
Shortly after these comments, Bud Light fired that chick and replaced her.
Love. Your gender, you can work them out on your own time and manifest them however you want. Doesn't make you a woman. And I'm no longer going to say that it does.
Doesn't make you a woman, and I'm no longer going to say that it does. We've already been on this page for years. I've been on this page for years. For me only, as an individual. I've never observed those pronouns. I got somebody in front of me who is an obvious biological male, biological female. The moment they try to force feed me a pronoun, I will hand deliver the facts right back to them.
Yeah, this is neo-speak. It's like, you know, nobody was worried about pronouns even like 2 decades ago and all through history. Nobody gives a crap about what you think you identify as from moment to moment.
Get to own a pronoun.
You can go around and call yourself the Princess Siam or whatever you want
to
be.
Whatever you like. But you don't get to wear a sticky note and enforce everybody else to call you it.
You know, I don't jump in your fantasy at your whim, you know, just because you refuse to accept who God and nature created you as. I will respect, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, but not enforced upon me. I'll respect whatever I feel like you look like to me. And if you're offended, you can call me whatever you want. I don't care.
Can I be heard now, or am I still coming from the backside of the moon somewhere?
John, is that you?
A little bit better.
Is that me?
That's you. There you are.
Did anybody catch my broadcast tonight?
Go ahead. We'll go. Mr. Wayne.
Did anybody catch my broadcast tonight?
I did not, unfortunately.
I kicked the hell out of them sufficiently. I assure you.
Oh, it sounded like this for 2 hours.
I mean, like curb stomped.
Oh, nice. Okay, a little curb check. Okay, beautiful. Well, yeah, I think that's what Megyn Kelly's doing right now, a little curb check. These individuals who are perpetrating this propaganda on the American people have no conscience. They are of a serpent bloodline of some sort. They've got to be some sort of... it's mutilation. You know that if you don't drug the kid before puberty, the kid will go through a total nightmare and then come out on the other side, it's biological gender. They know this. It's why they're going after the younger, the better. They need to stop the production of their positive hormone to support their biological gender. They need to stop that production before puberty, because if they don't, then they're going to go cis. That's the concern. That if they don't get them on the hormone blockers before puberty, they will go straight. No matter the propaganda, they will go straight. The urge is too strong for the boy. It's too strong for the girl. It's too much. They got to stop before puberty. And this is what they're doing. And this is why they're educating the schools and why they're in the schools and passing the laws. They now want to pass laws that will put parents in jail for harassing teachers and principals at board meetings. Staff, teachers, and principals. Whatever it might be, if it's a board meeting for a town, board of supervisors, and you're calling them out for their vote on some transgender law, they can have you arrested for harassment. That's what they want. They want to cancel everyone. See, the discussion is
they canceled.
Go ahead, Mr.
They are now grounding all B-17 bombs. Never fly again, ever, due to safety concerns and risk.
Yeah, well, until
did one of them do something? Did one of them do something?
Well, remember that crash here not too long ago where that P-31 crashed into B-17, you know, literally in the weakest spot of the our plane and cut the plane in half. Remember, it came flying from the house in Texas somewhere, killing nine people that were on board.
One accident in like all of its history.
To that degree.
So the only accident ever, and it's
I guess
crossed like that, and now they're going to take it out of commission. Although it has been around for quite a while. Or is that the B-52?
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
No, B-17. And this is the one from World War II.
Ah,
interesting. Okay. No, I just yeah. Just saw that. Figured I'd state my disdain and disgust.
Yeah, Mr. Wayne, you're breaking up again. Sorry, man. We're just, I don't know, the bandwidth's an issue right now. I don't know, being shut down or something, maybe. But you gotta work on that audio. I got some more great audio right here. Here we go. Some great stuff right here. Oh, what happened?
It's un-autoing. You have to reshare.
Let me stop that real quick. Get into that real quick. This is hilarious. You got this black dude surrounded by a bunch of drag queens, and they're filming some type of parody or whatever, and he is not about it at all. Watch this.
Why don't we just pair up?
I'm not into touching, okay? I'm not. Let me put that out front. I'm no touching, no touching.
No touching. I won't touch you. I was paired up with Isaac. He was like, no touching. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
The music will start. The boys will turn around. So, right. Gentlemen, let's turn.
I got news. You're all boys.
Trying to an ass beating.
There's only three men there, but there's, you know, you're all males.
Ridiculous.
All right, here we go.
Gorgeous. And then we start walking.
Fox ain't having it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then maybe let's look at the gentleman. gentlemen, you guys can acknowledge us. Ooh, who is this?
Cool. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm a man of God. I can't do this.
Oh, no.
Twisted sister looking.
Hell yeah. Ooh. That is a beast individual right there. That dude is beast.
Righteous.
I am a man of God, and I can't do this. I mean,
yeah, I love those people. I pray for them. I would never do anything to hurt them or condemn them. But men are not supposed to dress like women. I'm not going to go along with that. It's time to stand up and be a man of God.
Okay, man of principle. And that's that.
Yeah, that's it.
I totally agree with him.
100%. This guy's got some convictions and some discernment, and he can see through this. And that's his discernment allows him to see this for what it is. It's lunacy. It's a delusion. It's diabolical. It's morally bankrupt is what it is. Go ahead, Pan.
Do what?
I said, go ahead. This was...
I didn't have anything else to say. I just agree with the guy. I mean... I don't pretend. My fantasy world's in my head. They can keep their fantasy world in their head.
Yeah. And I don't care to be a part of it. I don't care. You just keep it to yourself. I mean,
they can even get together. Yeah, they can get together and have their own little party where they all do what they want.
Behind closed doors. Don't bring kids into it. Don't bring schools into it. Don't bring colleges, libraries, public places, taxpayers.
That's called mutual. That's called mutual respect for your fellow human, for your fellow being. It's like, you know, we don't go messing around with the crocodiles. They don't mess with us. And everybody tries to keep doing his own thing. And, you know, I mean, that's when you get problems, when somebody says, you have to recognize me and you have to do things my way. This is, you have to call me this. And if you don't, you know, we hate you. What is all that all about?
This reminds me of 10 people in a room with air conditioning and it's set at 70. Two people complain they're too cold. So in order to please the two people, they raise it up to 80, and you have the other 8 people suffering to please the other two.
Because the other two are really loud.
The other two are a bunch of pussies.
They're really loud.
It's so cold!
Yeah. And the rest of the 8 are all mellow, and they're like, can we just shut these people up? Okay, turn it up. Will you shut up when we turn it up?
God.
Yeah. The crybabies have to have their way.
I, for one, it's a redundant. I know we say it all the time here, but I'm not allowing this to encroach on what I know to be righteous. And these things that we're up against right now, these spiritual battles, they're different. Mr. Wayne? He's trying to talk, and he's just getting cut off.
Well, see, that was a hell of a delay. Yeah, it was a hell of a delay. No, I'm just agreeing with you.
All right, good.
What they need to start doing is they need to start using the proper terms and call them homosexuals. That's what they are. Homosexuals.
Yeah, they're homosexuals.
Not gay. They're homosexuals, yeah.
Well, I think they're victims. I don't even think they're gay. I think they're just victim of an indoctrination. Like you take the 8-year-old kid, right, sitting in elementary school. I don't think that dude's gay one way or the other. I think what's happening is that there's a lot of propaganda within the text, within the curriculum, the dialogue. You look around the classroom, all of the rainbow, you know, the propaganda. The swag, the LGBTQ swag is everywhere. And this is what you have. And they're trying to normalize a lifestyle over mathematics, over English, over composition, over, critical thinking. They want to create this ideology where it's okay to be a pervert. It's okay to change your gender.
They give them a million choices. So now it's not just gay or straight. It's like a whole bunch of in-betweens. So there's like a litany, a rainbow of colors to choose from. And number two is the same tactics that a cult would use. Is if you, let's say you're feeling a little confused, you're not sure or whatnot, and then you go and, well, maybe, just maybe I'm trans. Then suddenly you're love bombed. You are accepted. You are so brave. You are one of us. We love you.
Big coming out party, bro. Mm-hmm.
And there's the indoctrination. There it is, yeah. Because now you're at a vulnerable state. You know, you're.
Once the affirmation starts, you're hooked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what it is. The same principles of cult.
Well, as
God
a cult,
starts casting stones.
Hey, I got a term for you. Maltrans. Maltrans, where gender is on the forefront. In communism, maltrans. Listen to this. This is top notch. Where we are today, where we're headed, and where it came from. All 7 minutes and 35 seconds.
Go, mechanic, look at this too after your video.
All right.
Fighting among themselves rather than their common enemy. This is the comrades' first rule for the conquest of any country. For well do they know from long experience that the nation so divided and weakened can be easily conquered from within.
The communists disdain to conceal their views and aims. They openly declare that their ends can only be attained by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. The most powerful enemy can be conquered only by exerting the utmost effort and by thoroughly, carefully, attentively, and skillfully taking advantage of even the smallest rift, of every antagonism of interest among the various groups or types within the various countries.
I think some people don't even know they're communist.
With phase one, that of dividing the population, completed, the revolutionists were ready to move into phase two of the communist blueprint for takeover. Create the appearance of popular support. In every country now part of the Red Slave Empire, the actual number of Communist Party members at the time of takeover has been less than 1% of the total population.
Wow.
As Lenin phrased it,
communism must be built with non-communist hands.
Yep, they don't even know they're communists, just loud.
By cleverly beguiling thousands of well-intentioned people into unwittingly supporting the revolutionary program, the dedicated 1% can trick the 99% into surrendering their birthright. This they do by hiding the true communist objectives behind appealing slogans and pretended humanitarian goals. As Stalin explained,
the revolutionary accepts reform in order to use it as a cover for his illegal work.
After the communists have found some issue or point of difference upon which they can divide the people, get them fighting among them.
Yes, hear that? They commit to reform to cover up the corruption. And that is happening today. All day, every day, in every county. Constant reform to cover corrupt. Oh, it's legal now. Oh, we can do this now.
365.
Oh, I know we did it before, but it's legal now, so who cares? Oh, it's exactly what it is. As they wrong the ship, they write bills to right the ship. Nothing has changed. History is repeating itself in broad daylight.
And where it goes from here is not good.
No, it's only going to get worse. Okay? It's only going to get worse. Here's where it ends up.
Popular support. They have been devastatingly successful thus far. Yet in one country after another, there have been alert, informed individuals who saw the signs, recognized the patterns of conquest, and raised their voices to warn the people. Against just such a contingency, the communists developed the third phase of their blueprint for world domination. Neutralize the opposition.
We can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us.
A Communist Party directive issued in 1943 reads,
members and front organizations must continually embarrass, discredit, and degrade our critics. When obstructionists become too irritating, label them as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic. Constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
Tell me that's not happening right now.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Now, describing exactly what's happening.
Blueprint.
This is the blueprint. This is Marxist the communism. Architecture of communism. And the Bolshevik color revolution is the kind of the cover of a communist hardback. All right? You took a book, it's communism. But you cover it up, right, with Bolshevism. And that is social demoralization, social programs, social inequities, right? Programs like DEI, like diversity, equity, inclusion. Okay? And what they do there is they take the majority and shame them. They are shaming the majority of a once great nation.
Zelensky, that's Clinton. That's Zelensky. Saul Alinsky. Yeah. Clinton's the one who started that shit.
Yeah.
Man, this is a playbook that's been around for hundreds of years, I would say. And you can see the rioting here in the background. Again, plenty of that going on where they'll condemn a complete fabrication of an insurrection and everyone goes to jail. And then while there's an actual insurrection happening where they're burning down federal buildings in Portland, they do nothing. They tell the cops to turn their backs. Go home. We don't need you. You're defunded.
This is all forms of gray terror as well. And that was developed by the Bolsheviks also.
100%. 100%. Molotov cocktails. All right. Here we go.
The next step in the communist strategy is the most easily recognized, for it consists of the tactic of getting masses into motion, and thus precipitating mob violence. Master psychologists that they are, the communist...
Mob violence. I am on a regular basis now on Twitter, in my feed. I will see videos of white individuals, typically by themselves, typically just real harmless people, like no threat to anybody. They typically don't go after the threat. They, I hate to say this, black people.
Well, you know what happens is a lot of people that, you know, they're sort of performing the things that these the communist rule book wants them to do, but they don't even know that they're doing it in the name of communism.
They don't know they're doing it in the name of communism because they've been indoctrinated.
Yeah, they're dupes.
The white man hates them and you're being oppressed by these people, right. So it's okay to beat them.
So they're just being used as tools in this bigger game. And they're loud, and that's why they can get away with these things, is they use a very small percentage of people, but they wield them in a very vocal way.
So the next question is, when does the full-on internal conflict start in this country? Because obviously, that's where they are taking it.
Well, the problem is that there's not enough.
And this is scary stuff, man. I mean, this is some serious stuff. Scary.
There's not enough
to see our country being overthrown like this.
There's not enough black people who think like this. There's not enough. They're smarter than this. The majority of people, of black people in this country, didn't even take the injections. They're smart they're wise to these types of things. They know these types of things. They don't have the numbers to achieve it just by this. That's why they have to throw everything at. They got to have this control mechanism like climate change. The vaccines were huge. It went after this strong majority in the country. It hit the conservatives hard.
They're going after
all the conservative states. The new train derailment with toxic chemicals every day in this country. toxic chemical factory blows up every day in this country. Yeah. Something is going wrong every day in this country.
Gentlemen, it is about that time. We're about to surrender our airtime to David Mecki, coming up next here on Revolution.Radio, Shiny Side Out. I want to thank everyone for joining me tonight, Imad Painter, John Wayne, Deacon John, and the mechanic. Stay tuned again for Shiny Side Out. We're out of here. Ciao, ciao.
Don't forget to get a grip.
We get out almost every night. When that moon is big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears.